Hi, I'm Renelle Golden, and you're listening to the Movie Making Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Atlas VPN.
Hello, everybody. Today I am here with impressionist Zach Arnold. And we are going to talk to him about all the voices that are in his head or might actually be not in his head anymore, and some of the great ideas he has for some tribute films to the amazing Tim Conway. How are you doing today, Zach? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Renelle. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
It's nice to talk to you, and I'm hoping we'll get to hear a few of your voices and kind of find out a little bit more about you. You started as a musician. You were in tribute bands and doing things like that, but at some point you discovered you have a knack for voices. When did you discover that?
Actually, I discovered it while I was in the Beatles tribute industry. I realized I could do a lot of voices, but the person I credit for being able to do impressions is the legendary comedian impressionist Rich Little.
He
did a show called The Presidents in 2001. It was right after George W. took office, but this was before September 11th.
Right.
And I remember he did every president from John F. Kennedy right on up to George W., and he did it in costume.
He had
the noses, the hair, the wigs.
Oh my God. Did he like mimic a speech or something?
Oh yeah. He took excerpts from their speeches and stuff, but he was great friends with Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And Reagan loved his impression.
Wow. So he was sort of your inspiration. What was your first voice that you ever learned?
The very first one, are you besides Ringo Starr or?
In general, the first voice that you're like, hey, I can do this, and then led you to the next voice.
That would have been Ringo right there.
Okay,
that would have been Ringo.
Let's hear it. Do you still do it?
I think I could actually. I'm not trying to be a showstopper drummer. You know, I'll bring you up, I'll bring you down, I'll get crazy with you.
I love it. So you did that voice, and then everyone was probably like, Zach, you can do this voice. You need to do more. So
absolutely.
What was step two? Where'd you go from there?
Step two would have had to be Richard Mulhouse Nixon.
Of course.
And one of my best ones, I've been told, has been Jimmy Stewart. And we're coming up on Christmas, and It's a Wonderful Life is going to be on TV. And, you know, he says, what do you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon?
Wow.
So just say the word. I'll throw a lasso around it and bring it down here.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I love that. That's awesome.
Wow. Thank you.
What's one of your most unusual voices, like maybe people wouldn't expect you to do? Because those three tonally, you hear a similarity, like as a musician, I'm sure you notice that they're in the same tonally similar type range. But do you have one that we'd all be like, oh my God, how did you do that?
Catherine Hepburn, I did a lot of yoga throughout my years, and people would always come back to see me in my dressing room, and I would always be on my head, and I tell them, well, you'll have to get on your head if you want to talk to me.
Is that true? Is that something
yes.
she'd say?
It's something that she said to Rich Little, actually. Rich Little was telling a story about it.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. But the one thing a lot of people say when I do my voices, Like people at my part-time job, I'll try to do some voices for them, but because we're around customers and stuff, they'll say, when you do Jack Nicholson, we can't have any cuss words.
Oh, so right.
So when I do my Nicholson, I say, well, golly gee, I'm really upset. Darn it.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. Have you made a demo reel yet? Like a sampler of all of your voices? Do you have that out there?
Not yet, but I'm hoping to be able to do that because I'm going to be moving to a new apartment in early March. So once I get my studio set up there and stuff, I'll be able to focus more on, you know, making some impressions, some recordings of my impressions.
Because then we can send people over to hear that. You could use your voice in all kinds of stuff, commercials, movies, animation. How you have developed, I know you sent me a list, quite a lot of impersonations. How long does it take you to like master a new voice? Is it something just like, okay, I'm going to do this today? Or do you really like practice and get it down?
Some of them are easier than others. Like I had a lot and lot of trouble getting Ronald Reagan down properly. Oh. And then one day I was watching Rich Little talking at the Ronald Reagan Library. This was like back in 2017, I think.
Yeah.
And he said that he had trouble doing Reagan at first. And then he met a woman who was on his campaign, part of his campaign team, and she was in the airport and she saw him and she came up to him and she said, Mr. Little, have you got President Reagan's voice down yet? And he goes, well, no, not exactly. I'm working on him, but I'm having a tough time. And he said, well, I work for him and I know him really well. Before you say anything, you've got to go, well. And
can I do
it? Oh, yeah. Well, it's good there. I mean, it doesn't take much to say, well, but then it's trying to keep that beat of his voice.
Yeah.
You know, where when he would talk to Nancy, he'd be like, well, I guess you're right, mommy. Washington, Hollywood, they're both pretty much the same thing.
Backstabbing, no, something.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. When you're learning a voice, do you end up watching them and sort of studying them, or do you just listen?
I start out by pretty much listening to how Rich Little did them. Okay. And then I'll go and I'll listen to the real voice. Mm-hmm. And then I'll watch a little bit or listen to a little bit of the real voice. Yeah. Then I'll pause the video or the audio, and I'll try to redo that line, but as best as I can, without trying to do an impression of Rich Little doing an impression.
Right.
I try to put my own little twist on it.
Oh,
and there's some people out there that'll say, you know, you do a few people from today's society. Some of them have passed on, but they're still timeless. Like Rodney Dangerfield, for example. Yeah. I've been doing him for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good one to do too.
Yeah, thing is with Rodney Dangerfield, you know, he'd say, oh, comedy, it's in my blood. Only wish it was in my act. See, that's a story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
Oh, my God. I grew up with him. He's a riot. So, wow.
He was wonderful.
Yeah. He was a good one.
And I kind of relate his life story to mine in a way, because Rodney Dangerfield tried his hand at comedy when he was really young.
Oh.
But then his wife and him had children. Yeah. And she basically said to him, well, what's it going to be? You know, comedy and entertainment or the children and I? And he said, well, I guess I'm going to choose the children and you for now, because he wasn't really making it in the comedy world.
How my music career went, it was like, you have to pick.
And right.
Of course you're going to pick your kids, you know.
Yeah. And I had, when I moved down here to Florida, my fiance and I, we talked, and I decided to take a little bit of a hiatus from the Beatles tribute industry. But then within that time, I was working on all these voices. And I mean, I'm 37 now, and Rodney Dangerfield was in his 40s when he finally broke out. Yeah. And so it's parallel there in a way.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's never too late.
Right. I hope not. And you can always change your dream. You were doing the tribute band. Now you're moving into impersonations and possibly comedy and even films. So, but let's talk about the music just a little bit, because you were in two different Beatles tribute bands. So are you a musician? Did you, you know, early in life, did you become a musician? What do you play?
I play the drums mainly, I do play a little guitar and some keyboards. But my uncle, my uncle who sadly passed away in 2018, suddenly, he got me into the Beatles because his favorite group was the Beatles. His favorite Beatle was Paul. And they're what inspired him to pick up a guitar. And I got my influence on the Beatles, believe it or not, from watching Shining Time Station on PBS.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, Thomas the Tank Engine. I remember watching the show and seeing Ringo Starr. My favorite character was Mr. Conductor. And because I was so young, I actually believe that Ringo was only 18 inches tall. I literally, thought that.
That's very sweet. What a good memory, though.
And my mom would say to me, "Do you know who Mr. Conductor is?" I said, "Yeah, he's an 18-inch tall conductor."
Oh,
she said, "Do you know his name?" I said, "No." She said, "His name is Ringo Starr." I said, "Who is Ringo Starr?" And she said, "He was the drummer for the Beatles, which is your uncle's favorite band of all time."
Wow.
And as I grew up, I started, getting familiar with them and their music. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my uncle and my parents and I, back in, I believe it was 2011 or 2012, we actually took the Beatles pilgrimage tour, which went from Liverpool, London, and Hamburg, Germany. But I was actually in one of my Beatles tribute bands at the time. It was my second tribute band. And we went down to the Cavern Club. And there was a gentleman that I was talking to in the Cavern. And I was telling him, I'm part of a Beatles tribute band in the States. Little did I know that he was the entertainer of the night on the stage of the Cavern.
You see him go and,
And out of nowhere, he said, "I hear that there's I remember talking to a gentleman around here that's part of a Beatles tribute band in the States. Are you still around here?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm right here." He goes, "Would you like to come up here and sing a song with me?"
Oh, wow.
I got to live out the fantasy of every Beatles fan.
They played there, right? That was one of their stomping grounds.
Wow. Yeah. And my uncle, actually, he was over in the gift shop area buying T-shirts and stuff. Had an entire armful of T-shirts. And when I went up on stage, I said to the musician up there, I said, I'd love to do this, but I will not do this without my Uncle Greg, who is over in the gift shop right now. He's the one who got me into them.
So Greg, come here.
Yep. And then Greg told me that at the time he had an armful of merchandise, and the lady that worked there was helping him, pick out other things.
Yeah.
And he suddenly, when he heard that, he was like, "I'll be right back." And he just threw all of this stuff into her arms and ran up to the stage. And the Cavern has, those really low archways.
Oh, no.
And he almost hit his head on the archway.
Well, thank God he didn't. Oh, my God. He could have been hurt. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It was the greatest moment of my life.
It sounds pretty darn cool. It does. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should admit this or not, but until just now, I watched that show you were talking about. I never realized it was Ringo Starr.
Yeah, there were two. There was Ringo Starr, and then there was George Carlin.
Oh, him I remember. I remember him doing it. I didn't realize Ringo Starr did it. So
yeah, Ringo was in the first season, and then they had their Christmas special, and Lloyd Bridges made a guest appearance on there.
Yeah,
and he played Mr. Nicholas, pretty much Santa Claus. And at the end, Ringo went back to the North Pole with him. Aww. And George Carlin was his cousin, apparently, his quote-unquote cousin.
So then he arrived.
Yeah.
If you remember that one. But, wow.
Lloyd Bridges I actually impersonate, too.
Oh, seriously? Oh, yeah. Right. Let me hear it.
This is Lloyd Bridges, huh? You know, skin diving can be fun, but it also can be dangerous. So wear a swimsuit, huh? We'll see you next week, huh?
That's great. That's fun.
Use your internet without limitations. Atlas VPN offers military-grade encryption and data leak protection, keeping you and your family safe online, no matter where you are. Available on iOS, Android, Windows, and other devices. For less than $2 a month, Atlas VPN stands above the rest. Get an extra 6 months of Atlas VPN for free when you select a 2-year plan. Use the Movie Making Podcast's affiliate link to sign up. Go to get.atlasvpn.com/moviemakingpod. That's getatlasvpn.com/moviemakingpod.
So, all right. The next thing that's kind of interesting about you is you are inspired by the late, great, just sweet as pie, at least on screen, Tim Conway. Tell me about where you first saw him and how that sort of, is it fair to call him your idol? Or
one of my very first comedy idol, yes.
Okay, yeah. So tell me about it.
My grandparents owned the VHS called Dorf on Golf.
Okay.
And they showed me it, and I was just blown away. You got to remember, I was like 5 years old when they showed it to me.
Okay.
And for a kid 5 years old, seeing this short guy, you know, getting hit in the head by golf balls and being peed on by a dog wearing red, you know, losing my mind.
Yeah, his characters always got treated poorly. Like,
yeah,
that was sort of a running theme of his. They always had a hard time, but they were always sweet at heart.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
Eddie Deason, believe it or not.
Yes.
And he and I are great friends. And Steve is his publicist as well.
I just talked to Eddie a few days ago or a week or something. Yeah.
He was in two of the Dorf.
Pictures.
He was in Dorf's Golf Bible, where he plays his caddy, Waldo. And you know Eddie, you know, he just ensues the hijinks and, you know, he just completely ruins Dorf's game and stuff. And then he was in Dorf Goes Auto Racing, where Dorf races for NASCAR. And Eddie played his pit crew leader named Eddie Dipstick Taylor.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Of course, he led the pit crew through chaos and hijinks and stuff. But the whole pit crew were dumber than mud, pretty much.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. So you ended up just sort of, you know, falling in love with his characters and what he did on screen. And I think you're still pretty dedicated to him today. And this has led you to come up with two different films that you're working on, you know, putting together, sort of a tribute to him and also exploration of your own goals and what you're going through in life.
Yes. And I also tied in my favorite vacation spot for the second film, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm dying to go play slot machines. I have never done that in my life. And
I've been to Vegas like five times already.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you know the ins and outs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can find my way around there like the back of my head.
Oh, wow. Okay. I need to go. I'm like just, I want to just have that experience once as an adult, at least go and gamble. And it's a silly thing, but why not, you know?
Exactly. You only live once, you know?
Once that we know of, and that's the one we got to worry about, right?
Right.
So tell me your concepts without giving too much away, but, you know, what are the concepts and are you working on developing them right now?
The character that I came up with as a tribute to Tim Conway is a short little guy named Dippity Short Scrub. And the reason I call him that is because he's pretty much a dip. He's short, but he acts like a dip, literally, like a reject.
Oh, and is he not nice? Is he like a little bit edgy? Like, what's
he? He's very edgy. The slightest thing can set him off.
Oh, okay.
And he has zero patience for shenanigans. And okay. The second character I came up with, I actually came up with by accident. There's his uncle named Uncle Nexus from Texas.
Oh, I read that.
And he is literally like the dirtiest farmer hillbilly you can ever find. I mean, he wears like these dirty farmer overalls. And he's got a straw hat, blonde hair, greasy blonde hair, you know, sunburnt face. And he always carries his lorry and his pitchfork with him. And there is the occasional wheelbarrow when he's trying to pick up girls.
All the stereotypes.
Yep.
Sort of.
And I actually came up with his voice by accident, as I said, because I was trying to work on some impressions in the car. I was on my way home from Dairy Queen, from getting ice cream for the family. And I started trying to work on Grandpa from The Simpsons.
As I was doing that,
I'm starting to say, you know, well, I happen to do a lot of voices on The Simpsons, especially Grandpa. And I realized that I sounded more like a Southern, like stereotypical Southern hillbilly.
Oh.
And within 3 minutes, I had the character thought up, the mannerisms, the look, the voice, and I went home and I told my fiance about this. She said, you know, he would be a great sidekick, but completely irritating sidekick to Dippity Short Scrub.
They might have a love-hate relationship and
yes.
They're kind of family, but they're on each other's nerves.
They're a dysfunctional but functional family who puts up with each other. Well, I mean, Nexus is always upbeat and wanting to have fun. But Tiffany is the one that just does not stand for the shenanigans, only wants, but he's also very selfish. He wants things his way. And if you don't agree with him, he'll become the crankiest person you could ever find.
I know a few people like that.
Yeah.
So is this like going to be an animated thing or live action? Are you playing?
I'd like it to be live action, and I would take on the role of all three characters. Main character is of course Dippity, but the other person that the film would start out with is a gentleman that I came up with just as myself,
right.
A regular, ordinary guy named Max Riley, who wants to, you know, go out and pursue fame and fortune. And along the way, he runs into them and he does not like the idea of bringing them along, but he gives in. And he does. And of course, so many things ensue along the way. And the reason I decided I'd like to play all three characters is because one of my other favorite comedians is Eddie Murphy. And he's known for playing all these different characters.
There's quite a few people that do that. I think like Tyler Perry, and there's a bunch of people that'll play all of the main roles and they pull it off. It's all in the camera work, but
so
where you're at with this right now is you're actually in early development, getting it written. And is it like an old time vibe when people watch it? Will they feel like they're watching a film from the 70s kind of?
It's more like it's more like in modern day. It's pretty much in the modern day. But I mean, I'm in the very early developments of it. I tried to write the script using Celtics.
Yeah.
And, I am not familiar with writing anything. So
you need a little help with that, right?
I need a good writer. Yes.
So that would lead me to this question. If people want to find you, I know you have your YouTube channel. What is that called?
That is called The Incredible Impression. Just go on there, type in the search engine, The Incredible Impression, or you can go to a URL, which is youtube.com/@The Incredible Impression.
Okay.
All one word, at The Incredible Impression.
Do you have any other place you like to point people if they want to come find you, check out your voices, Instagram, Facebook?
I have Instagram. I have Facebook. Just look me up on Facebook, Zach Arnold. There's going to be a lot of them. But
I was trying to look you up. I'm like, oh, popular name.
Yeah, I mean, I'll even send you the links and stuff so you can post it up then on your site as well. People can track me down and stuff. I'm always open to doing projects and stuff. I mean, because I mentioned to Steve, you know, a lot of people who are just getting into acting, you know, they do their demo reels and they get an agent and stuff, but then they don't want to, you know, just get anything to get started. They want to go straight for the big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
99% of those people don't make it.
No, they don't. The most successful people that I know, they do anything and everything as far as talent goes. They turn down a job until they've hit a certain level where they have to, because they can't be busy anymore. And I love it. I watch them and I see them succeed, and before you know it, they can make a living at it. But other people that are like, no, I have an agent, I'm too good for your stuff, but they've done three things.
Right.
I just don't know how the future's going to work for them. But, and then, you know, of course, myself, I'm a writer, director, producer. Right. I actually make quite a bit of my own stuff, because if I don't, how do I build those credits? I'm not an actor. Right. Can't go on someone
else's. I'll take anything I can get to start off with. I'm not picky. Yeah. You know, I want to literally gradually build myself up there and become known little by little.
Yeah,
and I know it's not going to happen overnight, but, you know, it'll happen eventually for me. I mean, I know it will.
And your team, on your team, giving you good advice and guiding you, and you're being vocal about it. So you'll hit your networking. You're going to hit all the right places, I'm sure.
Thank you.
So one of the things I love to do as we wrap things up, I do what I call my 5 for 5. And I really need some new questions, but it has been a busy few months. But I like to ask, if you're ready, I ask 5 kind of personal questions, not too personal, so people can know you as a person. Things you like, sure. What makes you tick, kind of thing. So if you're ready, I'm going to start.
Go ahead. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool beans. All right. First question, and I wish somebody had could like start a clock to make that Jeopardy type noise.
Yeah.
First question is, what is your favorite food?
Ding, ding, ding. Ribeye steak.
Oh my gosh. One person one time just said food and another person just said meat. They didn't care as long as it was meat. And I'm like,
I'm OCD, so I answer precisely.
I love that. Yeah, I'm like, I need an exact thing. I'm like, meat? There's a million, but it was great. It was a great answer. I loved it too.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next question. What is something that inspires you or motivates you in life?
Inspires and motivates me. It's got to be the support of my family. and my friends, you know, my parents, they say, you know, don't give up. Like, there are times when I want to give up. Yeah. And they say, you can't give up. You just can't.
I love that.
And I'll say, but I'm not getting anywhere fast. I'm throwing in the towel. And my dad will be like, you know, if you throw in the towel like this, what's going to happen? You know, you're just going to, you know, lay around in your house for the rest of your life and stuff. And he's like, you know, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah. I have my dad's
the same way.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets hard, but overall we get back up again. Right. We keep going.
Right. And my fiance and my two stepkids, they're rooting me on too. They're saying, now that you got this far, don't lose sight.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got a lot of good voices. You get that demo reel and put it together. You could get booked on commercials or who knows what, because voices are needed all the time. So
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. What is something non-entertainment related that you have always dreamed of doing, but you haven't done yet?
Skydiving.
Really?
I want to go skydiving.
If you could.
I want to do the tandem jump. I want to do the tandem jump in over Cape Canaveral. And I keep saying I'm going to choose over the water there in Cape Canaveral just in case the chute doesn't open.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I'll watch.
Yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Number four. What is your favorite song to sing at the top of your lungs when you're driving in the car?
Helter Skelter.
Really?
By the Beatles, yes.
I knew it was going to be a Beatles song. That's interesting.
Especially if I'm upset or something, I'll just scream it at the top of my lungs, because being Ringo, at the very end, he screams, I got blisters on my fingers. And also I play the drum set when I'm angry too. I'll play Helter Skelter.
And at the end of it,
I'll actually have blisters on my fingers from playing so hard.
That is some intense playing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good song though. Okay. Last question. What is your favorite movie?
Grumpy Old Men with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Oh, the early one. Yes, I think there's a newer.
I like both of them, but Grumpy Old Men has to be my favorite.
That's interesting. I love that. I'm one of those. Wait, I'm not a man, but I'm becoming the grumpy old part.
I can do Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau pretty good, too.
Okay, let me hear them real quick.
That Jack Lemmon, you know something, Walter, you are stupid. I swear, if you look up stupid in the dictionary, I swear to God, you will find your picture.
Oh, really? Well, let me tell you something, Punch. My wife is a moron.
Oh,
yesterday,
my God.
I told her to bring home from the things from the supermarket, bark down. She brought back an escalator. She's a putz.
Oh my God. Wow, those are good voices though. So, well, you have been a delight to talk to you today, Zach. I wish you a great end of the year and a powerful 2024. And I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you. Have a great, great rest of your year.
You too. Thank you so much, Renelle.
Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Movie Making with Renelle Golden is brought to you by Samira Entertainment, supporting indie films and the filmmakers who create them. Stop by their website to learn more, www.samiraentertainment.com. That's www.samiraentertainment.com. You've been listening to Movie Making with Renelle Golden. Be sure to come back for our next episode where we bring you the people who make movies you love. Got a topic about filmmaking you want to hear on our podcast? Send us an email at moviemakingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.